The Endurance Asia Podcast.
Yo, pick your red up cause things ain't that bad. Maybe you should switch the target that you're aiming at. Believe perfection is a beast that they'll never catch. So never waste another day because life moves so fast. And a dream without pursuing, yo, they never last. Another shadow of regret I try to never cast. And always tell a truthful story if they ever ask. Stop the complaining cause things ain't that bad.
Hello and welcome to the 80th episode of the Endurance Asia podcast. I'm your host, Scott Pugh, and this week we welcome back Miss Natalie Dow. Great to have her back on the podcast 2 years after her first appearance, and she's absolutely been crushing it over the last 2 years. Just an amazingly consistent ultra runner, marathon runner, and she's come on to talk about a big project that she's working on, codename Project 1000, a big run from Thailand all the way down to her home of Singapore. It's a big ask, it's a big feat, and I am very confident that she's going to get it done. So we discussed the logistics and how she's setting up, and also what she's been up to over the past year or so. And we catch up with Mr. Rick Stockfish after as well. Bit of chat about the Barclay marathons that have been going on over the last few days, and the legend Tomokazu Ihara-san, who's put in another fun run, his third fun run. Such a legend. We love Tomo. So with that, here is Miss Natalie Dow.
Tell the truthful story if they ever ask. Stop the complaining because things ain't that bad.
Natalie Dow, welcome back onto the Endurance Asia podcast.
Thank you for having me. I can't believe it's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years, yeah, since we had you on. It was around International Women's Day in 2022. And so we just had International Women's Day last week. I saw you were at loads of events last week as well. Did you have a busy week?
Yeah, really busy and still going. So I think now it's International Women's Month almost.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why don't we make a month of it? What kind of things have you been doing?
Spoken on some HSBC women's golf panels, which was really, really good. Quite a few corporate engagements, and then doing another one this Thursday night. Just to talk about, I'm not quite sure.
your diary is like packed, and I was like looking over all of the running that you've been doing this past year and a year or so, 2 years, and it's incredible. And then also you fit in with that, you've also written a book and launched the book as well. It's just been absolutely relentless. So we've got lots to talk about, and more importantly, I think what's coming up as well. So you've got the biggest challenge that you've ever taken on. How long have we got to go until you...
It starts May 25th, so not that long.
May 25th, yeah. And this is the Project 1000, 1,000 kilometre run from Thailand back to Singapore for women charities, a range of women charities that you're working with, and you're looking to do a Guinness World Record as well, right?
Yes, so it'll be two marathons a day for 12 days, no room for error in there.
Wow. Well, we're going to get into that in detail as well. I want to know exactly how you're planning that logistically. But first things first, like, what, I suppose it'd be good to chat in the last couple of years, what have been sort of some of the highlights? I mean, I was just kind of looking over the marathons you run. You've done four marathons this year, right?
Yeah.
Or that in the past year. Partly, I think, sort of have been, you've had invitations, but what is it about, like, that you've chosen? Because I always thought you were, like, going to switch to the much longer distant ultra, but you keep coming back to, you think you've done Sydney, Tokyo, Gold Coast, and...
Stanchart
in Singapore, yeah. One of the toughest, probably, with the heat, right?
Not my choice of distance still, so I prefer longer. Tokyo was an amazing experience, so you can't say no to Tokyo when someone invites you.
And you're up there with the ASICS team on that,
yeah, weren't you? I was. Gold Coast, again, I'd done some work with Queensland Tourism, and Gold Coast is my parents live on you know, along the course. So it's always such a fun
one to do.
Don't
you run past the house
yes,
or something
twice.
On it?
Yes, twice. Cool, yeah. Yeah. So that's always – that's one of my favourite races. Then Sydney again was sort of a work thing, and just thought it was a good opportunity to do that. And Standard Chart was a work thing. So I think people think that I run marathons, not ultras. Yeah, yeah. There's too many.
And you were like pretty consistent in every one, weren't you? Like kind of 3.5 hours every one. I don't think you weren't going for like crazy. Oh, you did do a PB. One of those.
I did. 2:28 on the Gold Coast.
Okay. Yeah. 3:28 was
3:28. Yeah, 3:28. I was gonna say, Jesus.
That would be like a kind of world record, age group world record. But yeah, so I suppose did the other ones mainly for training, like as training runs pretty much?
Yeah, I think so. And it's just, you know, interesting to mix up a training run instead of doing your long run as a 40K run. Then, you know, you do it as a marathon race and practice nutrition and different things along the way. So, you know, it was a good way to do it.
And you actually kept a similar, like you were around 3:30 for pretty much all of those.
Yes,
as well,
correct. I was.
I was always impressed, like consistency, even in spite of like Sydney's quite a hilly marathon, Singapore was stinking hot, and you're still consistently around the 3:30 mark.
Yeah, I did. And I don't know how, it wasn't really planned. I wasn't aiming for times in any of those at all. I just sort of went on feel, and it ended up, being pretty damn consistent.
So outside of the marathon distance, which is obviously not your ideal, you've also done, I think you did like 4 ultras or so last year, right, which ranged in the sort of 80K to sort of 200K was the longest,
yes,
right? Tell us about the last few ultras that you've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of racing last year. So for me, I don't like to race that much. It was good. It started the year with the 200, and you know, that was it was 2 100K loops. So that was an interesting experience in Malaysia again, and the longest I'd ever run. So there was definitely hallucinations by the end.
How long did it take you?
It was like 28 hours, something like that, okay. I think. So, you know, I ended up with a hip problem. So I walked, I think, the last 50, which was a bit soul destroying.
Where did you end up coming in it?
First woman, third overall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then a couple of looped races. You know, I like the looped.
Like most of them you do are like 5 or 6K loops, right? And mainly they're on road still, or like they're a mixture of like road and trail.
Mainly road. I did a 1K loop one as well in a park. But it's low admin. You don't have to carry anything. That's why I like it.
Logistics are definitely a lot easier. Yeah.
And then my first semi trail one with the Eco Trail in Malaysia, which was lots of fun. And it was, I think, like a 3 a.m. start. So we were straight into the bush in the dark. I had no idea of what I was doing or anything, but it was a load of fun.
Yeah. How did you perform in those other longer trail ones?
Yeah, I won them all from female perspective.
And for like overall perspective, I know that
Tamanjaya overall and the Penang one overall.
That's amazing. What is it about Malaysia that that you keep on going back to? Is it just like convenience because it's so close by?
Yeah, convenience. And I really like the culture of ultra racing there. Everyone's really welcoming and friendly. And I also think it's a bit more raw. You know, like there's no bells and whistles. You're out there. It's down and dirty. Could be, you know, taken at any given time and you don't know what's going on. So, yeah, I think it's definitely the rawness that I enjoy being there.
Yeah. I mean, I saw you do a post the other day around how, like, the performance of females in these ultra distances as well. And there's kind of the question now of actually, like, when it comes to the long, long distances, the 200 kilometres and above, are women better than men at ultra running?
I think, you know, I think it goes beyond physical then, and it's down to mental.
Yeah.
And I do think as even older women, we're mentally, we just seem to be mentally tougher in a lot of times. So I think that's what maybe gets me through, and you're willing to push and maybe you just process information differently out there.
I've got my theory on it, actually, and I was chatting with Andre Bloomer about the Hong Kong 4 trails this year, and they only had five women, in fact, one got injured just before, so couldn't compete. So four out of the, I think it was 18 that started, I'm in 17. And he like wants to go for sort of parity 50-50. Yes. But the big challenge is, that, well, so the women that do turn up are fully prepared. They've had a like very focused training block and they're not just going to try it on a whim. Whereas I think generally, like, guys will just, like, give it a go. Oh, yeah, I'll be able to do it just fine. And I think, like, the level of preparation that women put into it is just seems to be much higher. And I think that with that, DNF rate is often lower. Whilst the speed might not be as high, I think the actual completion and finishing is higher. And in fact, he just had a lady say, "I want to sign up to 2025. So I want to like play. I want to start prepping now for 2026. So 2 years away. And just here's everything I'm going to do to prep for it. So I'm going to apply next year, but I just want you to know now." Which is just that for me, I was just chatting with him about it. It's kind of an indication that I just think females are just much more prepared to be able to or like plan further ahead, and they don't put their hat in the ring if they don't think they have an opportunity to do it.
Yeah, and I think maybe, you know, I know a lot of them are mothers as well too. So I think if you're going to take that time away from family, then you are going to go 100% in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, I even see it in Malaysia, the women, you know, like you said, they might not be the fastest, a lot of them, but they're out there, they're going to finish it, they're committed to it. And some of the younger guys just seem to, you know, if they're not going to win, okay, well, I'll DNF.
Yeah. Which... Yeah, I've never, yeah. In fact, the first race I DNF'd was when I got injured the other way. I think if you're going to turn up, especially if you're going to travel to a race, you've got to, even if you're not going to do a great time, you should always see it through to the end. And yeah, I mean, on that, you've also, we mentioned before, you've written a book in this past year. And I mean, we've got a lot of women that listen to the podcast as well. I must admit, I haven't read the book. I've read
footnotes.
It's not entirely relevant to me, but the concept of it is around women training for these ultra races and just around menstrual cycles and making sure they can fit their training in around what's happening with their body on like on their cycle, etc. But yeah, like interested in the sort of the like headlines of what you learned when writing the book and what sort of advice that you give to women around sort of training for ultras.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's ultras or any running. So yeah. I think women or teen girls or whatever, the more knowledge you have, the better you're going to be able to cope and understand your body. And I think it's taking time out to understand your body. So when should you maybe not be doing long runs? When should you be eating more carbs? You know, when, you know, you're feeling like this, oh, okay, I know why I'm feeling like that. So I think it's more around body awareness and then what can I do with that? And a lot of times it's I'm getting injured because I'm not eating enough. So I'm hitting, you know, the reds. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that we're not taught growing up that can impact our running. And we just sort of a lot of times suck it up, you know, off we go, suck it up, keep going. But actually, if you just pulled back a bit for the next 2 days of training, it can make, you know, you can get a lot more gains the week after.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that often, it's often the way when you've got, either when you build a training plan yourself or if you've got a coach, you feel, no, I have to regimentally stick to this. But I think you just need to have flexibility in it, right? And then not just force through not do a training session just because it's in the plan. You just need to be like adaptable and adjust it as how your body's feeling.
Yeah, and we're not going to the Olympics. So it's okay if you cut a training session in half or instead of doing a 2 hour run, you do a 1 hour run or go to the gym or something instead. That's okay. You know, it's not going to make a long-term difference. It actually will be better for your body.
Yeah. And I was also interested whether you actually, when it comes to like planning training races, I mean, you do roughly know when your cycle will be. So do you like specifically look at your calendars and go, okay, that's probably not going to be a great date for that race? Or do you like, or you can't plan that far ahead because things can change so much anyway? Right?
I think for out of the 8 races I did last year, 7 of them, I was... smack on my cycle, so it was the worst timing ever. And so it is what it is. Yeah.
And I suppose that sort of goes into the training as well. Like, you need to remind yourself, actually, whilst you might adapt your training slightly, you still need to sometimes just push through, because if it happens in a race, you're going to need to like be able to get through it there as well.
And just be kind to yourself too. So if, you know, if you're not feeling it, then that's okay. You know, you can't control everything. You know, control the controllables. That's all you can do.
Yeah. Yeah, Natalie Dow an author now? Is that it? What other books have we got planned?
No other books yet. That was, you know, and I co-authored it with a doctor out of the US, so, you know, it was almost cheating to write a book. It was much easier than, and he's written about 14 books, so much easier than, you know, attempting a first one by myself. But no, it was a really great experience to do it, and hopefully, you know, I've spoken at lots of schools to girls, especially in the, you know, the high performing athletes in high schools and things, and hopefully they're learning something.
Yeah. Has it, because I know that obviously charity is really important to you as well, and you mentioned speaking in schools. Like, as you were looking for projects for 2024, like, has that made you think about some charities to work with? And yeah, how did you?
Yeah, there's so many charities, but it's actually really hard to give money to charities.
Yeah.
And get them to engage. So, you know, I'm doing this project. You know, I ended up just choosing one overarching charity because it was much easier than individual charities. But now it's opened the doors to work with a lot of different charities in different countries. So, you know, I'm talking to the girls at WISE in Hong Kong now, and looking what we can do going forward, working together. So the networking is fantastic now that I've started doing something, all these other doors are opening.
Yeah. And that sort of goes on to the project for this year then. So I always think when you're starting to like plan out challenges, like, how for me, I like is it happens around the end of the year and going into the next year and sort of setting goals for the new year. But how have you thought about like building really big challenges for yourself? What process do you go through?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about this one maybe October last year, and I think just because I'd done 8 races and I'd sort of had enough of racing and thinking that maybe there's something.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. You run around in circles every time. Hours. You need to go out some big mountains and you wouldn't get so bored. I'm joking.
Yeah, but it was like, what can I do to push myself physically and mentally to see what's possible? And sometimes you've got to do something crazy to get attention, to bring attention to a good cause. So when I was told my husband I think I might do this, you know, his first thing was, are you going to raise some money? And so, yes, absolutely. So I thought, if I can run and do some good, then why not?
Yeah. So when coming up with the concept of doing a big challenge, obviously a lot of your running has been flat on road as well. So any sort of challenge would make sense around being on road. But how were you thinking around where to do it and what kind of distance and the sort of logistics around it?
Yeah, I think being positioned where we are, I was thinking, oh, could I cover 4 countries? But that was just too hard. So I thought 3's a good number.
So 4 would have been sort of potentially Myanmar or something.
Or get across on a ferry to Batam or something like that to count Indonesia.
Yeah.
But so it ended up being 3, and that was sort of the easiest, and then I got out the Strava maps and Google Maps and sort of physically measured it down and went, oh, it's about 1,000 k's, you know, which way should I go down, and talked to some friends that have cycled it and ran parts of it, and they sort of said this would be a good route, and then that was sort of how it started.
Yeah, just looking over maps, it sort of is such a fun thing to do, isn't it? And just planning out a route. How were you? So you were like looking at the Strava map, because obviously you can see who's been running where and stuff, right? And so you know if that road is runnable or not, because a lot of them are like yeah, a lot of the main roads going through Thailand, Malaysia, actually, like, you've got huge, big, like, loads of lorries flying past you, and especially going through night, which you're probably gonna have to be running at dark for some of it as well, right? How did you think about planning out the
actual route? Away from freeways. So my whole thing was, so we're sort of starting in Hat Yai and then hitting the east coast of Malaysia. So it's all small towns, it's all small roads, it's coastal, and you're completely off the freeway. So it's not the most direct route, but it's much quieter.
The scenic route.
Scenic route.
Yeah. And so as you started looking at the, 1,000 kilometres, then you started just breaking it down to sort of like what you'd need to do in a day for, like, I know that you mentioned you want to do 2 marathons a day every day, which is quite a good for people to get their head around the kind of distance when you sort of people are getting behind the challenge. But how did you think around sort of like planning that part out? Why 2 marathons a day? Yeah. Like, is it you mentioned that it's like a Guinness World Record, but like, how often it's quite hard to get Guinness World Records to get approved.
It's so hard.
They almost don't take it. If it's not one that like exists already, getting a brand new one is like very difficult.
I think we're on our third reiteration, so it is hard. So I originally wanted to do 100 Ks a day, and then talking to people that had done some long running, multi-day stuff, they advise that, you know, maybe cut it down to around 80, because that 20 will make a massive difference in recovery. And so then, exactly to your point, well, 2 marathons a day, people who don't run can understand 2 marathons a day. So I sort of, you know, extrapolated that out, and it's like, okay, that's 12 days that will do. And that fits into how we're going. So the record will actually be, there's a couple of records. The Singapore Book of Records is from Hat Yai to Singapore.
Is it an existing record?
No,
at the moment?
It's a new one. And then there will be an Australian record which will go into their books, which will be Hat Yai to Singapore. But the Guinness record will be the length of Malaysia.
Okay.
So top to bottom of Malaysia.
Got
on foot.
Yeah. Okay. And so how much distance have you got in Thailand before you?
We've got about 200 Ks in Thailand first.
Okay. So it's about 750 K or so in Malaysia.
Yes, just under.
Okay. And has that been done before, the Malaysia one?
They say there's an existing record, but I'm just going backwards and forwards at the moment. So I'm not sure if there is. I think there might be one going across the other way, but not down.
Okay. That's the hilly route.
Yeah.
That's the... So how's it going to work? Because I can imagine from a safety perspective that, I mean, not Malaysia's safe, Thailand and Malaysia's safe, but the southern part of Thailand, there's, you know, historically has had some challenges. How are you going to make sure that the challenge is safe, and what's the sort of support that you're going to have?
So I'm very lucky. I have a good friend here who's Singapore military, who is my on-the-ground man coming for the whole time from a logistics point of view.
And he will have a van, a car going on.
Yes, and then I've got a content manager. I've got a PR manager, we've got a film crew, and then we actually have Channel News Asia production team coming because they're doing a documentary.
Okay.
So we've got, there's quite a few of us on the road.
And they're calling you for the entire challenge?
Yes, correct. Okay. So, and then probably one other person, and we'll have a medical person. So it's quite a big team in vans. I know.
That might potentially take away from it a little bit. I'm just thinking, because just for you personally, I mean, like, obviously to be able to produce a documentary is going to be amazing, and it's going to be really great for people to watch. But these kind of challenges, like being on your own and just experiencing on your own, is really important. But they don't have to be with you 24/7.
No,
though,
and we've got some parameters around that. So my content manager's, you know, putting some things that you can only film at between this time and this time, or if you do, it's from a distance, just let it go. You know, don't interfere with anything. So it'll be very much hands off for a lot of it, which will keep it. But to your point around the safety, we're working with some great people in Thailand, the former mayor of Hat Yai and things. So we've got police escort to the border for those 2.5 days, which is great. Yeah. and then working on that with some local race organisers in Malaysia when we hit the top part, because it's very...
Which ones are you working with?
We're working with the guys who do Eco Trail there, yep. And then the Standard Chart Marathon guys as well. So just because otherwise it's coffee money along the way, right, with yeah. local authorities. And it's also very heavily Muslim up in that top right-hand corner too. So it's just being aware of what I'm wearing and being respectful for to local culture while we're in that part of Malaysia.
Yeah, yeah. So how will it work actually crossing the border? I suppose is it pretty quick to cross the border
yes.
from Thailand to
yeah,
Malaysia?
Yeah, I think it's quite a quiet crossing. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sure you've got lots of like interesting plan along the way, but are you literally doing it 84K every day and you're going to like camp at the side of the road? But what's...
Yeah, what's so we're doing... Like? So every day the idea is we set off at 5 a.m, we do one marathon, stop, change shoes, whatever, eat, and then off we go again. So hoping to finish... You know, I know things won't go to plan, but, you know, hopefully by the end of the day, you're done by 6 or 7 at yeah. night. So there's a good night's sleep. When we get to wherever we are, we're wanting to do local activations with some schools or the kids in the towns. And then hopefully there's some homestays. So we've got people sourcing homestays along the way. But the questions are, do you need hot water? Do you need this? You know,
yeah.
so very basic. If all else fails, we'll be sleeping in the car.
Yeah, 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 which won't be okay. the end of the
yeah.
world. Yeah, yeah. But you're like planning. You've planned villages along the way, and then at the point of the road, then you'll like go and drive to a homestay, and then go and start from the same point.
Yes,
the next
yeah,
point,
right? Or yeah. hopefully finish within walking distance to that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. You might be out of like a dip in the ocean at some point.
Yes, 100%. It looks amazing. Some of the photos I've seen of where we're running is spectacular.
Yeah. And so will you have anyone running with parts with you as well? So the military guy, is he doing logistics, but he won't actually be running?
He won't be running. So what we're going to do is invite local running groups and community out to run along certain parts. So the number one, the parts that are safe to join where there's actual, you know, room for people to run.
Yeah.
So they can join for 5Ks or 10Ks or whatever it may be along the way. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, get some excitement in those villages. And I know a lot of the ultra runners in Malaysia want to join, so they'll make a trip out. I've got a friend flying from the US who's going to join the first part of it. You know, other people coming up from Singapore for that first weekend. So I think... You know, it'll be lonely in some parts, but then I think we'll have a good crew in other parts.
I've got like visualizations of like the Forrest Gump. Yeah. By the end of it, you've like you've got a whole massive entourage. Well, that's the plan, right? So you'll be coming. You and so the start date is May the
25th.
25th. Okay, so you'll be like by the 8th of June or
5th of June.
Sorry, 5th of June. Yeah.
So we cross. I'll cross the border the evening of the 4th across Woodlands, stay in Woodlands,
yeah.
and then we kick off in Singapore on the 5th of June, which is Global Running Day.
Ah, okay, awesome.
So yeah. all of the local Singapore running groups, you know, if they haven't already, will be, you know, activated to see if they want to join.
Yeah.
So it's still 85Ks-ish to do in Singapore on that day.
Okay. What's the route you'll be doing in Singapore?
I don't know. I think I'll be going down West Coast. I'm yep. not going to be going down East Coast. And I would like to run along the river for the last part just because that's my daily
yeah, that's
run.
Your usual route. Yeah.
yeah. And then the idea being just with final sign-off waiting that we finish in front of MBS.
Okay. Yeah.
And so we've got government involved in that and some ministers and, you know, we're hoping to have 1,000 people sort of finish that run.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the goal, to have 1,000 yeah. people running with you? That's awesome. And so you'll potentially do Woodlands and then round, round the west side
yes,
of Singapore.
Yeah.
A great route. I mean, that sounds like it would be roughly like 85K actually.
Yeah, a bit in and out and round we go.
Yeah. So how's training coming along? You've got, it's actually not far away, right?
I know.
You've literally got 2 months.
I know. So did a race last weekend
yeah.
In Malaysia as a test. And that
you did like a 100K race, right?
Yes, yeah. And that was really good. I recovered really well from that. There was a lot of, it was much more elevation than what I would normally do, but my legs were good. And so just starting to pick up the pace again, then I'm actually doing the Paris Marathon in 2.5 weeks well.
Okay, nice.
Over there on holidays, that happens to be on, got a bib, so why not?
Yeah.
And then when I come back from that, it'll be full on sort of double day running, I think, a lot of the times.
Because that's the thing that you, I mean, you said you recovered really well, but it's those back-to-back days of running, which, mm-hmm. I mean, most people, when they do these long distance stuff, they find themselves actually just getting fitter and better as the days go by.
Yes.
So it's almost like you're training while you're doing the event. Right, but what have you planned in terms of sort of pace wise? Are you looking to sort of just like maintain six minute 30K?
Yeah, or? I think if you know if I'm pumping out a 5 hour marathon, then that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be. I don't, you know, I don't need to be running them any faster than that. You know, even a little bit over. So see how I feel. Maybe the first one might be better during the. You know, when we start off, because it's cooler, so it's going to be very, very hot for that second marathon.
Yeah.
So if that drags out to 5:30 or whatever, so be it. But, you know, if we're finishing them in 5 hours, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so you might actually just, like, take a break in the middle of the day. I think that makes sense,
yeah.
Right? So start, like, the plan is to start around 6:30 most mornings.
Five.
You're going to be starting at five.
Yeah.
Okay, so be done by 10.
Yeah.
Lose the 2 or 3 hours in the middle of the day,
yes.
And then do into the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a
sensible plan.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, to avoid the midday sun. I don't know, like the saying, "Mad dog and Englishman in the midday sun." It's like same like Ned Phillips. Always see him out in the midday sun as well. It's yeah, I think that makes sense to break it up. Is there anything that you're like? Nervous about? Is it like, are there anything that you feel that you're having to change your training to be able to get yourself ready for?
No, I mean, I feel like the running's the easy part. Logistics are the hard part. So that stresses me more than anything.
Yeah.
Especially
when you've got so many other sort of activation things happening around it, right?
Exactly. Pressure's on. So it's like, you know, where are we all going to stay? And I feel responsible for other people. So that's the biggest stressor. And then Arthur, my logistics manager's just like, you need to give me sign off if I have to send you to hospital. I need to know this. I need to know that. It's like, oh, I was just going to run.
You
I didn't think about all that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the distance of it, like day after day. I know, knowing you and having seen you train and everything, I think that will be fine. I think I worry about getting any injury, but I mean, you're running mainly on road. There's not going to be any chance of having any like technical running that could cause injury. And then it's just around like just keeping the consistency there more than anything, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's like the chafing is one thing that scares me because it's going to be so hot. So that's probably the thing that I'm most worried about is what will that look like at the end of the day. But yeah, I think just, like I said, keeping it consistent. It's not a race, so I'm not in that race mind. I'm just get it done.
If you want to have a rest at some point during the day, there's nothing stopping
you. Yeah. And you know, there's no rest day, so we haven't allowed for any, you know, people are like, well, what happens if you take longer or whatever? It's like, just got to keep running, you know. It is what it is.
Yeah. And I think when you've got sort of, you're splitting into two marathons a day and like five hours. I mean, if you have one day that you go less, you can still run. As long as you get a good 6-7 hours sleep in a night, then you'll be good to go the next day. So you've got some time to play with around that, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, if I have to run a bit longer at night, then I have to run a bit longer at night or whatever it may be. So I think that just adds to it that there's no room for error.
Yeah.
And, you know, adds to the excitement, puts the pressure on a little bit more.
What are you doing around nutrition? Like, have you got
the million-dollar question? Yeah, yeah. I know. It's, I mean, I'm assuming there will be GI distress along the way without a doubt. So for me, I'm just going to keep, I'll be doing my AG1 in the morning, every morning.
The athletic greens.
Yeah. So that will be the only greens that I'll take. And I think knowing what works for me, it's just going to be a lot of white carbs, you know, in between, keeping it plain, staying away from veggies and meat probably.
Yeah.
And then a bit of fruit maybe.
Are you going to take most of your food with you?
Some, but I think, we will be passing 7-Elevens and different things along the way, so that's okay. And then, maybe some gels as an emergency.
You use Morton, don't you?
I do, and maybe trialing a new one along the way out of Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes. So I think I'll take some of those just as a backup too. And I had an interesting conversation with Robbie Ballinger in the US.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think you could do it 12 days on liquid if you really had to. Depends, if you take something like scratch or something that's high calorie. So, I'll just see how I feel.
Yeah, the other thing is just making sure that you're having all the electrolytes as well.
Yes.
And especially with how hot it's going to be. And what's the prediction of the weather going to be at that
it's
time of year?
It's going to be like 35-ish, 36, 37. Yeah. I'm hoping the sea breeze comes in.
Yeah. So just making sure that you're getting all of your like potassium, magnesium, and obviously replenishing salt.
Yeah.
Like if you've got the right drinks, that they should have that as part.
Yeah, and I trialed those Pure tablets the other day for my last race, and they were great. So I think it's an easy way to get electrolytes in without having to chug down a liter of water as well.
Yeah. And then what kit are you going to be wearing? Like, I suppose you've got some branded kit for the event as well, but will you be running in your ASICS?
Yes, I'll be running in ASICS. I think a myriad of things. I've picked my shoes. I'll be running in Super Blast for most of it. And that's that's my favorite shoe. Yeah. So maybe I'll mix it up with a Nova Blast, but it'll be pretty much the same type of shoe the whole way.
They are great shoes, and because it's normally for like you use an Overblast for like speed session, but you can still if you with the carbon plate, even if you're just plodding along, it really does help a lot, doesn't it?
And yeah,
it does reduce the fatigue in your legs, which is going to be another big thing that you'll have to figure out.
Yes, I know. Sunburn. I've got a sponsor for sunscreen, so that'll come in handy.
You've got decent base tan anyway, Natalie. I think you're gonna be good. And were you as part of the crew? Will you have a masseuse in there as well? Are you
just I'm gonna see if I can. Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can, and I will take the Thera boots with me as well. The compression pants.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll take those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the gun, but I would love to have a masseuse, on hand there. We'll see what we can do about that.
Yeah. Generally, what do you do around, like, stretching and strength and conditioning? I know that you do a fair bit of strength and conditioning, but, like, stretching-wise, do you...
No, I'm getting better, but when I say better, maybe 10 minutes a day would be it. But, some basic stretches. And so I feel like I'm trying to make a concerted effort to do that, especially when I get home after a run.
Yeah.
And then strength and conditioning, rather than saying I'm going to go and do an hour of it, I do sort of bite-sized pieces. So I might do, 15 minutes five times a week as opposed to doing 3 one-hour sessions.
Yeah.
I find that easier.
And that's just at home in your home gym.
Yes,
I'm just wondering if there's anything that you need to do differently to prepare your body for that. But from the people that I've spoken to that have done this kind of long distance stuff, you just need to turn up and get started and you get like fit. I mean, doing those back-to-back days are going to be important, but you're still working with Scotty Hawker as your coach for it. Is there anything specifically he's got planned with you outside of the marathon in Paris? And
I don't think so. When I told him, when we were race planning for this year, and I told him what I wanted to do, he was like, that was very unexpected.
Yeah,
I was not expecting you to say that you want to run 1,000 kilometres. No, he's been great. And, his focus is do not get injured, right, this time. We want to increase the volume, time on legs, but we don't want you injured and sore either. So we're sort of been building up at a nice rate. He's really looking at all the stats from Training Peaks and checking everything. And it's, you know, I think, as I said, my recovery from that last race was great.
Yeah.
Probably my best one.
How do you class it as great? What makes you?
Not sore at all, even with the hills. And I was running, you know, back running a couple of days later, felt good. Yeah, so that, and I, and my pace was faster than maybe previous ultras, even with the elevation. So I'm obviously got stronger. You know, I didn't walk, I didn't do any of the things that maybe you might do except for up a hill.
Yeah.
So I came out of that feeling good and have bounced back really well, better than expected, I guess.
Yeah, that's a big confidence booster.
Yeah.
And what has he planned? Do you know what's coming up over the next 2 months?
Or
do
not
you
really.
Week just, by week?
Yeah.
Do you know what the total, like the like peak part that you're going to be in terms of volume?
Yeah, I think it's going to be towards the end of April, that when I come back from Paris, I think it'll just be a continued build from there. And sort of early May, end of April.
Do you know what you're going to be working up to?
No, I don't know how many Ks a week. I'm not. I'm too scared to ask almost. It's like just load it up and I'll do it.
Yeah. What's been the maximum outside of like a race week?
Yeah, about 120.
Okay.
Yeah, so not huge. I was running more than that during COVID, sort of consistently 150. But I guess it's just putting all of those 120s together.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I really don't know what is best in terms of whether like really high volume or lower volume and then cross training with bike and stuff is. I think everyone's different, and I think the big thing though is that just with very high volume, there's a higher chance of becoming injured. Right?
Yes,
which
correct.
Is the thing that you need to be really careful of. So as long as you're like. Not feeling any niggles or anything, then you can carry. Do you do any cross training at all?
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't at all. I'm not on a bike ever.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of rowing at home. We've got a rower, so I'll get on that sometimes, but really that's about it. Yeah. I do lots of walking.
Yeah.
You know, wherever I possibly can, but apart from that, not really.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that I'm like having not being able to run, and so it's the only way to sort of maintain like cardio and endurance. It's pretty good. And I just know a couple of people that have put in a lot of like big cycle rides in their training run, and they've had like a friend of mine, Henry Lekkonen, he had like his PB at UTMB, and his volume of running probably came down. It's still quite high, but had like two big rides in a week, two or three big rides in a week, and just massively improved his overall endurance and fitness. So,
it's just the Singapore roads scare me.
Well, honestly, I'd like to do it on the Wahoo Kicker on a trainer at home.
Yes.
is quite a good way to do it. Yeah. So very exciting. I mean, I know that it's a way. Tell us a little bit more around the charity you're doing it for, then as well, and sort of what you're like coming into the World Running Day on the 5th of June. Like looking back, how this Project 1000 will have been a success if what?
Yeah, if we've raised a lot of money for the charity. Number one, if I finish and money for the charity. So the charity I chose, and a lot of people actually recommended it when I asked around, is a charity called Girls GRLS, which sits under Women Win. So it's a global charity, and you can apply for funding everywhere in the world. So it is relevant to Asia, which I wanted it to be. And they work to empower girls through sport.
Okay.
So underprivileged girls or girls in bad situations or breaking out of poverty or whatever it may be, and they do that through sport. So my two passions are, you know, helping young girls and sport. So I thought it was a really good one.
Yeah, that's awesome. And they're a global charity.
They're a global charity, but you can access funding from any country. I think they've helped something like 4 million girls around the world already. So they've been around for a long time. They don't normally take donations from individuals, or you know, it's normally through foundations.
Okay.
But the CEO is based in Florida. I spoke to her, and They were happy to get on board behind this because it spoke to what, you know, what they do.
Yeah.
So they were the selected one.
Very good. And what's the goal? We know the goal for the 1,000 kilometres.
Yeah,
what's
I would like to raise 150K minimum. Okay. Minimum. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And what are we? I know that you are the most amazing promoter, but like, what are we doing to try and to be able to get 1,000 people run with you as well would be incredible. So yeah, what kind of activities are we doing to try and sort of like increase awareness and raise some funds for it?
Yeah, and I haven't done a lot of PR yet. You know, so I do my weekly radio, and those guys are amazing at pushing it every single week for me. Yeah. I've reached out to a lot of the local running groups that are all keen to come on board. And then, you know, I haven't released the Singapore route yet. So as soon as I do, we're going to ask for signups just so we have an idea of who's joining.
Yeah.
But I do have sort of hundreds of emails and messages of people saying, where can I join? Where can I join? So yeah. I think, you know, schools are reaching out as well. And we've got people like ANZA, all of their associations, we've got scouts, we've got all sorts of people. So not just runners, it's, you know, gyms wanting to join as well, and just people in community.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be amazing, Natalie. I'm so impressed that you're taking this on. I mean, it fits right in your wheelhouse of doing like crazy distances. But yeah, it's definitely not going to be easy. But I also, it's to what we were speaking about before about women being amazing ultra runners, like you wouldn't be committing to do this if you didn't 100% believe that you're gonna smash it, and I 100% believe that you're gonna do amazingly well. It's I can't wait to join you as well on that
yes.
final run around Singapore.
Or even earlier if you want to go out to Malaysia running a few Ks.
I mean, hopefully if I'm running properly by then, I might be able to come and join for a bit longer. No, that would be cool. But I know it's difficult to look past that, but I mean, as you've planned out for this year, is there anything beyond sort of June that you're planning?
Yes, there is. I qualified for the Marathon World Age Championships.
Okay, wow.
So that's being held in Sydney as part of the Sydney Marathon.
Awesome.
In September. So I will go and run another marathon. Okay. And do that.
Even though you're not a marathon runner, you're...
Yeah.
And so what age group will you be going for? Is there a specific
time? I'm old. I'll be 50 to 55.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what will be the sort of like goal timing?
I don't know. So I, you know, I'm not sure who turns up. I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up at the bottom half of that. Yeah. But it'd be nice to try and set a BB if I can.
Yeah.
So that would be the goal, just to set a PB if possible. And they've changed the course this year, which looks much better.
I got some pretty like average feedback of the Sydney Marathon last year. That was it was a really lumpy course as well. It was a really hilly course last year. So yeah, what have they made changes?
Yeah, so year? Still hilly, but we're starting at North Sydney Oval, running down towards the bridge.
Yeah.
A lot less U-turns and a lot less loops through Centennial Park. Still got that hill at the end. But a much more flowing course this year, and it's starting early because last year it started quite late, so it was hot. So they really listened. Hats off to the guys. They took all the feedback on board and have changed it, which is great.
Yeah. And outside, so you'll actually have like a good three, if it's June to September, you've got 3 months to be able to get some speed back in your legs after plodding, shuffling along for 1,000 kilometres. Is there anything else beyond that? I think that's enough for 1 year.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe an ultra towards the end of the year. We'll see how I'm going.
Yeah.
See how the legs pull up.
And then maybe 2025 we can get back to looking at the Hong Kong 4
Trail. I know. Andre always asks, bless. I keep saying next year.
No, it's amazing. I can't wait to follow this. And yeah, I'm going to be, hopefully I'll come and meet you outside of Singapore for it as well and support you on it. But like great story. It's going to be really fun to follow. Will people be able to like follow at the time? I know that there's going to be a documentary you've done on it. But
so we'll be going live on my social the whole time. Okay. Channel News Asia will be going live every day. And we will have a dot tracker.
yes,
as well.
Okay,
so we will have one with us so people can log in and have a look at exactly where we are at any given time.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's a great way to do it. And then you can put like the points at which, yeah, your start and finish point for every day so people can see how you're progressing.
Yeah, and I think, well, you know, all the information will be uploaded on the website. So that's the easiest place for people to have a look, which is project1000.run.
Project1000.run.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I think, you know, anyone that's interested in joining, please do.
And on the socials, what's the best way for people to follow?
On mine, just on Rockstar Arms is the easiest way.
And then you'll probably just use the hashtag Project1000.
Yeah, Project1000Run.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Natalie, it's always a pleasure to have you on and catch up. You're always so inspiring. But best of luck. Last 2 months of training. Don't get injured.
yes, famous last words.
No, like good luck with getting your body prepped for it and getting in, and you're already in incredible shape for it. But yeah, very excited to follow. Thank you again for joining.
Thank you.
Tell the truthful story if they ever ask. Stop the complaining because things ain't that bad.
Mr. Rick Stockfish. Hello, sir. How you doing?
Been a while, Scott. How you doing, mate? Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Yeah, it has been a while, and yeah, another great chat with Natalie. It's good to get her back on after a couple of years, and with a very tough challenge ahead of her in just 2 months' time.
Yeah, it's great hearing her talk about what's coming up. She's clearly planned it really carefully. Excited to get started.
She's been just so consistent. Running over the last couple of years has been truly consistent, and she's managed to do it all without injury. I mean, after she did the 200K earlier on last year, she had a bit of a hip injury, but she wasn't really out for long at all. And she's like using just marathons, like she gets all these bibs for marathons getting given to her for like all the majors and stuff, and she just uses them as training runs, which is a pretty good idea, to be honest, but still doing an incredible pace for her age group as well. But yeah, this Project 1000, I think it's going to capture the imagination of people. I think especially many people in Singapore take trips up to Thailand on holiday. You know, they know how far it is. They've, you know, could spend time in Malaysia. So I think the two marathons a day is just very easy for a non-runner to kind of put it into context. And it's tough. It's a tough challenge.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point on consistency and injury, like obviously I was injured for a couple of years. You're now dealing with an annoying injury of your own. But it is interesting hearing her talk about the fact that she doesn't really do any cross training.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, a lot of it comes down to nutrition and fueling properly and making sure you're well fed, and you know, you're gonna run into trouble if you've just not eaten enough. So it's interesting the lessons that she's learned along the way, and she certainly seems to know what she's doing.
I think the fact that she used to do a lot of strength and conditioning training. She used to do CrossFit. And she was like she did CrossFit for a few years. I think actually if like in the years that she was doing that would have built a lot of strength and just all of like her fascia and all her connective tissue. It would have just made it stronger, which I think you know, you start to like kind of lose this as you sort of get older, but she's built like such a strong strong like base system to be able to support all of this long distance running, and I'm looking forward to following it. I'd love to be able to like get and join some of it. We'll see if I'm running by then, but yeah, hopefully I think it's like two marathons a day. I mean, for like an ultra run, you think, oh no, it's like pretty doable, you're running on flat road, but it's just doing it like consistently for 12-13 days. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, but it's great, isn't it, seeing these challenges popping up again. And we had a lot sort of during the pandemic where people were trying to figure out ways to set goals kind of in their backyard and so on, but to see these kind of bigger goals being set, and especially these routes with a kind of nice aesthetic to them, like it's really simple. You're running from Thailand to Singapore and you've got to get through Malaysia to do it. I think you're right. I think it will really capture people's imagination. And we were just talking now, there's lots of these other challenges going on at the same time, really. Like lots of people seem to be finding new ways to push themselves and journeys that haven't been done before or going for new time records. Got a couple of people doing kind of from top to bottom of Africa at the moment. This guy,
yeah, Ross Cook being one who looks like he's close, like he's in Algeria. And I mean, I've been following the journey and he's had lots of challenges with sort of getting through certain countries' passports. And he's been, you know, had people trying to mug him and stuff. And I think it's been a really challenging journey. But there's another guy that's also navigating through. It looks like he's like close to the South Sudan. What's the name of the guy again?
Well, you've got Russ Cook's the first one you're talking about, and then Dio Capa.
Dio Capa, yeah.
Cape Town to London. And these are just, you know, just mad, impressive challenges. But I think particularly for our listeners and for runners in the communities around Asia, you know, Thailand to Singapore's a, you know, it's a kind of classic route, isn't it? It's almost a straight line, straight down. I think there'll be a lot of people getting behind her.
Yeah, and a lot of people cycle it as well. It's a pretty pretty well-known cycle route. So yeah, and the idea of having 1,000 people follow her around Singapore for the last double marathon, that's just going to be great. It's going to be such a carnival atmosphere, and on International Running Day as well, on the 5th of June, is such a good day to finish it. But yeah, talking about, you said like in people's backyard, that kind of makes you think about Backyard Ultra, and then makes me think about Laz, and makes me think about this weekend or going on right now. We've got the BM 100, which is going strong. We're now sort of 6:30 Friday night, so we'll be publishing this evening. Unfortunately, Tomo had to pull out at the end of a fun run. Once again, that's the third fun run he's got in. He got in his third lap in 34 hours, 35 hours almost. So he had 15 hours to do the final two laps, and yeah, he had to pull out on the fourth loop, which is such a crying shame. Like, this guy's just put so much into this, but he is getting better. Like, I think he finished his fun run like 2 hours quicker than his fastest time, and so it's so close, and he's getting there. But I'm sure this won't be the end of his journey and taking on this incredible challenge.
Yeah, it's a great follow, isn't it? Just following the Twitter updates and seeing what's going on, and it looks like there might be a few finishes this year, but you never know. We both of us watched that doc on Carol Sabe finishing last year, you know, and it's just, yeah, it's an amazing race.
Yeah, the way you follow it though is just this Keith Dunn dude, and you who just, everyone's just waiting with bated breath for his next tweet to come, and there's just it's an absolutely star-studded, I say star-studded, but like people that have like returning again. You've got John Kelly that's coming back to do his third finish, having finished last year. Damien Hall, who's like one of the top runners, he's done like, the two of those are like good mates, right? They were both living close to each other in the north of England, but they've done a lot of the circuit run
together and stuff, haven't they?
And then doing the Bob Graham rounds and stuff, they've got records. Damien Hall's an incredible runner, and he last year was his first year, and I think he pulled out on the fourth or fifth lap, but he's looking like he's in good shape. Jared Campbell's back again, but probably the most impressive right now is Jasmine Paris, who completed her fourth loop on 46.5 hours. She headed back out, it didn't say exact time, but yeah, with roughly 13 hours to do the final loop, which in daytime you'd hope that she's going to be the first female ever to come out of the 17 finishers, the first female ever to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good, isn't it? I mean, we're just talking about Natalie, and she's very humble about her achievements, but she's winning races outright, and it's particularly inspiring to see that. And then you've got people like Jasmine, as you say, just an absolute beast at these kind of things. We were just talking now, you've got people like Camille Heron, who's just smashed a six-day world record. It's just absolutely crazy achievements.
Yeah, Camille Heron is on the road, has just been like blowing it out the water, isn't she? Yeah, how many records did she have on that one run? So it was a 6-day run, right? She did 560 miles total in 6 days.
Yeah, 560 miles, and then just a long list of records, like PBs and world records and world bests. And I think that record had stood for quite a long time, actually. She's raised the bar again.
Yeah, and like Candice Bert being the other that last year did 50K every day for like 200 days, a record that like both male and female, like, but I think the previous record was like 18 or something like that. I think it's a record that we won't see beaten anytime soon. I mean, like, not in the next year or two is my guess. The level of commitment you need to be able to do that is 100% commitment needed for a year to be able to do that. Yeah, really interesting. In fact, I saw a post from her recently, actually. She's like, she ran 250Kers back to back and didn't do any strength and conditioning or anything. And I just saw a post from her saying, oh, like I did a workout and I pulled a muscle. But like, I ran 50K a day every day for 200 days, didn't get injured once, and then try and go and do some strength and conditioning and pull a muscle.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I remember when we started the pod, you know, all those years ago, we were quite into the idea that, you know, we might be able to learn something from how people were tackling these challenges, what their approach to training was, how much strength and conditioning they did, what tools they used. And I think the answer is it's everyone's different. And some people just get away with not doing anything other than running. For some people, they can't live without the yoga and the stretching and the conditioning.
There's no silver bullet at all, is there? And obviously when we caught up with Mayank after him putting in that incredible Four Trails performance, and he changed it up this year, didn't do much distance on feet, lots of cross training, lots of swimming, lots of strength and conditioning. He did high rocks, you know, all of this stuff to build up his overall strength. There's arguments for both. Follow.
Where are you at with your return to running, mate?
I just had an MRI today. First time I've ever. Have you ever had an MRI before?
Yeah. Noisy factor, don't they?
It's noisy, and it's just. It felt like I was in a Mr. Beast episode, like being like buried underground or something. It was. I was trying to meditate to try and get, and it was 45 minutes, and I'm glad I asked them how long it would take before getting in, and it was I felt like I was just being slowly cooked because it was really hot in there, and obviously when they're like doing the scan thing it starts warming up, and I just felt like I was being cooked in there, and I was and like they give you a little alarm thing, and I was like, right, okay, I need to find out how long's left, because and I squeezed it, and the guy was like, just in time, like it's ready to come out now, they're all done. It was brutal, it's horrible, but I've got like some annoying, my medial glute tendon and hip flexor and the whole thing's a bit screwed. Yeah, and that's since Doi on the 8th of December, so it's been almost 3.5 months now, and yeah, longest injury I've ever had. So this kind of year's been a bit of a write-off to date, but trying to do a bit of cycling to keep some degree of fitness. But yeah, no, it's been a bit frustrating, as you can attest to, having had like loads of feet issues for the last few years. But have you been out there a bit? You've got this plan to do 100 summits, right?
Yeah, sort of taking a bit of inspiration from Tomo, Ned Phillips, and you know, massively reducing the scale of the challenge, but still, the nearest peak to here is Tibidabo that overlooks Barcelona. So the idea is to run from my front door. I can see it from my balcony. Run from my front door up to the top 100 times over the year. So it's interesting, and you learn a lot from doing these things where you just kind of, you know, you go through periods where you're just racking up the summits. You think this is going to be easy. I should have set myself a harder goal. And then inevitably, you know, you haven't factored in having to take a week off because you've hurt your knee, or you're actually going on holiday for 2 weeks and suddenly you're behind schedule. So It's a fun project. And
how are you going? How are you tracking?
I'm bang on target. So I'll be at 25 for the first quarter of the year. But then, you know, I've got to build in the fact that I'm away for whatever, 3 weeks over the summer and a couple of weeks of Christmas. And
how what's the distance? How long does it take to get up? And how long does it take to get up?
It's an hour to the top. And if you go the most direct route, and then I can go anywhere. Essentially, as long as I go from the front door, touch the summit, that's job done. And I can either come down the other side or come back the same way. Or it's just fun. It's just fun having a project that requires you to be consistent.
And what's the elevation of the climb?
About 450.
Okay, nice. Yeah, yeah.
So it sort of starts off flat, and then first 3K, and then it's 5K more or less straight up. But lovely, you know, like you see, it's really do it different times of year, different times of day, and it's always a little bit different. So no, it's fun, and I think, you know, that should give you comfort, mate. I honestly got to a point with my injury where I thought I'm just not going to be a runner anymore. I just can't do it. I can't keep waking up and trying to be positive about it getting better, because it just isn't. And then, you know, who knows, really? I think ultimately a kind of focus on strength and conditioning, and particularly the strength part, and just spending weeks on the leg press machine. And I don't know, you talk to every physio, has a different opinion. And, you know, eventually you kind of end up trusting the one who gets you back on your feet the best. But that seemed to work for me. And sorry that you're going through something similar, mate.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, I've been able to channel into like work and still being able to do a bit of cycling, but it becomes such a big part of your identity, doesn't it? When you're like trying to endurance sports, and then when it's taken away, then it's just a big gap. But it's fine. Like I'll appreciate that much more when I get back. Exactly. But. Oh mate, well, really cool to catch up, and it was we've still got another few hours of Barclay Marathons to follow, hopefully we see the first female ever. I think this is going to be a record year. It looks like we could have 6 or 7 overall finishes. Shout out to Tomo, and 2 months we're going to be watching Natalie Dow go all the way from Thailand to Singapore and do a Guinness record in the process, and hopefully raise a load of money for charity as well.
Yeah, and then let's get her back on after that, talk about how it goes. All right, when?
Nice one. Good stuff, Mr. Stockfish. Speak soon.
Cheers, Scott.
Tell the truthful story if they ever ask. Stop the complaining, because things ain't that bad.